Went to a place called Barley's in Keystone. How many know where Keystone is? How many never heard of Keystone? And so we're talking to this family. And I just knew something was going on. And so we're talking, and his boy wanted to go fishing. And so I said, hey, I got waders. I got everything he needs to go fishing. I got the jacket he can put on. I can supply you, and I can tell you where to go. And it was a good place. And they were staying at the campground where we were. And so we're talking. He says, I've kind of been crippled up. And I said, oh. He says, I got RA, or I think that's rheumatoid arthritis, isn't it? And I said, I guess there's a reason we're talking. I've seen God heal some people with your disease. And he looked at me and said, really? You know something? Never talked to him again. Never came back. Saw him one time, and he says, your name's Glenn, right? And so what I'm preaching this morning, there are some people that you'll meet that just won't want to talk to you about Jesus. Don't let it bother you. Just don't let it bother you. You know, I saw the boy once, and he needed stuff, and ask him if he wanted to use my waders, or ask him when. No, it's okay. So I don't know if they scared him or he just has amnesia, but anyway, there are times that people will not respond to your invitation about Jesus. But I want to show you three or four cases where they did respond. Because how many of you have gone into sharing Christ with somebody with a negative thought? They're just not going to pay attention. God, why should I do it? And they accept Christ and you're just shocked. I believe one of the greatest events in my life is being able, or your life, is able to lead somebody to Jesus. Well, they'll just sit down and listen to you. And keep in mind, you're not promoting COC. You're promoting the Christ of COC. We're not trying to shove Jesus down somebody's throat. I don't use fear tactics or fearing tactics. You'll get that by tomorrow. But we just come to a place of sharing Jesus. Many years ago, John Wesley White came to the city of Virginia, Minnesota, where we were pastoring, and I got to lead Operation Andrew. It was a little bit different, Operation Andrew, than what we're seeing here, but it was called Operation Andrew, and what we did is we lined up buses, and we found places for the buses to park, and every night the arena was filled, and our job was to get people to the event. This is different. This Operation Andrew is to bring people to Jesus. I brought them to an event where they heard about Jesus. If they don't want to come to the event, you'll eventually be able to lead them to Christ. And that's part of the purpose. Somebody said, well, what is the will of God for my life? And I heard Bill Johnson preach on that a few years ago. And Bill Johnson said, the will of God for your life is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse the lepers. I believe the lepers today are people living in sin who have no idea about what to do about it. God's grace has touched us. God's truth has touched us. And the three illustrations I'm going to share with you this morning is, the first one is found in John chapter 1, if you want to turn there. Look at me for a moment. You'll hear some people saying that there's a universal faith. Everybody is going to heaven. Everybody is saved. Don't have to worry about it. It's not true. God's desire is that everybody goes to heaven, everyone is saved. And as people get into that doctrine, they forget about a place that's coming in Revelation chapter 20 called the Great White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment is for the one who hasn't accepted Christ. It's the unrighteous. And so you can believe any doctrine you want. That's your choice. I'm not arguing the doctrine. I'm presenting what the Bible has to say. I'm presenting what Jesus says. The Bible says that whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pretty forward. How do I get my name in the book of life? By accepting Christ. And I understand something. I have family members who have died, and I'm not absolutely sure about their salvation. But listen to me. Don't change the doctrine of the Word of God based on how you feel about a family member. There was a group called the Russellites. Anybody ever hear of them? The Russellites today are called the Jehovah's Witness. Mr. Russell started the Jehovah's Witness because his son or daughter or somebody was killed in a car accident. He knew they didn't know Christ, so he denied the existence of hell. The gospel message is not based on how we feel or what we think. It's based on what Jesus and his Father and the Holy Spirit has told us. You can disagree with that. You can say, I believe everybody's going to heaven. It's a nice thought. I wish they were. But if that's the case, why do we have to witness? If that's the case, why do we have to present Christ to them? If that's the case, why do we have to send missionaries? If that's the case, why did he tell us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you will be a witness? That word witness means martyr. You're going to lay down your life for this gospel. We okay? And so I just want you to understand that. It would be so easy just to come to church, sing a few songs, praise God, and go home and forget about everybody else. And I think some churches have. But friends, I want to be sure my family knows Jesus. I want to be sure that this community knows that there's a God who takes your sins, forgives you, and gives you a purpose for living. That's the introduction. There went my birthday present. But it's okay. I'm a... Pardon?
Whoever said you're
going to
get one.
The children are in this room over here. Good job, Isaac. Bless you. Love that kid. Now I forgot what I was preaching. Shook me up so much. Can't recover from that one, Kirk says. Okay, let's... Laughter is good like a medicine. John chapter 1, please. Verse 35. Again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples and looking at Jesus as he walked, and he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the disciples heard this, heard him speak, they followed Jesus, and Jesus turning and seeing them following said to them, What do you seek? And they said, Rabbi, which is when translated, Teacher, where are you staying? And he said, Come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, remained with him that day, and now was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah," which is translated Cephas, a stone. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." What is Operation Andrew? In our lives, Operation Andrew is just very simple. You have met Jesus. How many of you have been born again? How many of you have accepted Christ? How many of you... Crumb, I'm not preaching. Everybody that hasn't accepted Christ, get up here. What Operation Andrew is that there had to be an excitement in Andrew when he met Jesus. That excitement was so great, he went and told his brother Peter. Peter is brought to Jesus, and Jesus says, "Your name is Simon, but you will now be known as Peter, Cephas, stone." The question is, how many of us still feel that same excitement about Jesus? That excitement that is so great, we cannot but tell people what God has done to us. That's all you're doing. You're telling people what God has done for you, and then through the links, you have learned how to bring that person to where you are in Christ. It's beautiful. And so Peter is brought by Andrew to Jesus. And Peter believed. And he was one of the foundation pillars in the early church. Peter preached a message on the day of Pentecost. You know, don't just think of Peter denying Jesus. You know, Peter and Thomas get a bad rap at times. Think about Peter standing up and preaching. "This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last day, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my handmaidens I will pour out my spirit in that day." Think of what the message that Peter had to that crowd that had gathered. It's amazing. It's so simple. Because through the Holy Spirit, God is leading us to bring family and friends, people we don't even know, to Jesus Christ. It's a privilege. I'm going to share a private moment with you. Friday night, I took Puppy for a walk, and my mind was spinning because I had heard some things from doctors I didn't want to hear. And as I'm walking, I just suddenly say, "Okay, devil, if you want to play this game, we can too. I'm going to do everything in my power through the Holy Spirit to destroy your kingdom. I'm going to do everything, God, through you, not through me, not my efforts, to bring as many people into the body of Christ that I can. You attack my body?" Jesus said, "I will build my church," and what? "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." It can't stand. Those people that don't know Jesus, as you love them, as you cultivate a relationship with them, as you bless them, as you talk to them, and they see Jesus in your life, they can't resist. Because what's flowing from them is the divine love of Jesus Christ. You're not threatening them. You're not intimidating them. You're not arguing with them. You're loving them. Amen? And it's a love relationship because we know what Jesus did for me. I was a drunk at 18, 19, just going to hell in a handbasket. And one day in a little church in Fort Francis, Ontario, God reached down and plucked me out of that muck that I had gone into and said, I have a better life for you. I give you a purpose to live. I have hope because I am hope. I love you like nobody else loved. And how beautiful it is. Do we put notches in our belt and say, man, I have led 5 million people to Christ? No. God knows. No. I often think, and maybe somebody can do a little study for me, because I used to remember who led Billy Graham to Christ. I think it was, I don't know. Anyway, the man was faithful in doing what God told him to do, and the results of Billy Graham's life, through the Holy Spirit, Billy Graham was used by God. It's amazing. You don't know when you're walking by someone and God says, well, I'll get to that point later. But when God says, speak to that person, and you don't know who you're leading to Christ. But I'll tell you something. The world needs more Billy Grahams than it does LeBron James. Hello. And you say, who's LeBron James? I'm happy you don't know. He's an amazing basketball player, and I appreciate his talent. And I'm not putting him down. If you're here from Miami, or if you're a Miami fan, you won. But a year from now, it won't matter. I was hoping they won, too. Number two is found in John chapter 4. Jesus comes to the woman at the well and he says, I want a drink. And the woman says to him in John 4, verse number 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman, for the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans? Now understand something. A Samaritan to a Jew was a dog. They were unclean. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get the water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing up to everlasting life. And she says, sir, give me this water. Give me the water. How many people do you know that are thirsty? They don't even know what they're thirsty for. They're trying all different kinds of things. And they're looking for something that will satisfy an inward desire put in them by God that only God can satisfy. Jesus got her attention with the thirst. But he also got her attention when he prophetically said, go bring your husband. And she answers, I have no husband. And Jesus said, I know. you've had seven husbands, the one you're living with now is not your husband. And she looked at him and said, you must be a prophet. And that conversation with Jesus changed this woman's life. Andrew brought Peter. This woman brought a city to Jesus Christ. A city. And Jesus happened to stay there, I believe it was two or three days, talking about himself, his being sent by the Father to this community. Over what? Over a drink of water. So Jesus came to the well, the woman came to the well, Jesus met her, she met him. Jesus explains a whole bunch to her. And she talks about worship. Our fathers worship on the mountain, but you say that Jerusalem is a place to worship. And Jesus says, on the mountain or in Jerusalem is not, but the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Three kinds of worship mentioned there. There's ignorant worship. We worship, we don't know who we worship. You worship on the mountain or in this Jerusalem because you know God. Intelligent worship and true worship. The day is coming when those who worship the Father will worship him in spirit and truth. All in a nutshell. Just boom, there it is. Exciting. But there's another story here. Jesus loved the ones he wasn't even supposed to have fellowship with. He loves them. A Samaritan, you're not supposed to even talk to me. Jesus not only talked to her, but explained to her all she needed to know. She went back, told the city, there's a man who's told me everything about my life. And the city came out to meet him. There was a time when a city came out to meet him and told him, depart from us, when the hogs went into the lake. This time they came out to hear him. Do we as believers understand the power of love and grace and mercy that's totally tied up in this gospel message? Do we comprehend it? Not arguing over some doctrine, but just coming to a place of saying, this message is so powerful. This message is so real. The Word of God is always anointed, so the message is always anointed. It's inspired by God. It's God breathed into our lives so that we share. Somebody came to Gypsy Lee Smith one day and said, you're getting older. You probably won't be able to preach. What are you going to do about the devil? And Gypsy Lee Smith said, well, as long as I can kick, I'll kick him. As long as I can hit, I'll hit him. As long as I can bite, I'll bite him. When my teeth are gone and I can't move my fists or I can't kick, I'll gum him to death. We're fighting against an enemy who simply wants to take people to hell. Understand something. Even a Satanist isn't loved by Satan. They're used by him, and they'll still end up with him. Third one I want to talk about, and I was just thinking about this morning, and I'm just going to try to paraphrase the story. It's found in Acts chapter 8. You can read it when you get done. It's about a man, an evangelist by the name of Philip, and an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip had just been in a revival in Samaria. And there's an amazing part of this story. How many of you, when revival comes, are going to leave and go somewhere else just to meet one man? We've been so excited about revival. Bible was saying demons were coming out and unclean spirits and the lame were being healed. And God tells Philip, arise and get out of here. I got a mission for you. And so Philip is going along and he sees this Ethiopian eunuch traveling. And the Holy Spirit speaks to him and says, draw near the chariot. Get overtake it. And Philip catches up with the chariot, and the man is reading Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. His chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity, the sin of us all. And Philip says, do you understand what you're reading? And the man says, how can I? Nobody tells me about it. So Philip explained to the man the way of salvation and the interpretation of the scripture. And the eunuch looks at him and says, here's water, what hinders me to be baptized? And he said, if you believe, you may. And they went down into the water. Be attentive to this voice of the Spirit. Just be attentive. How many of you on your way to church this morning passed the house of somebody that probably wasn't saved? Born again? I know you're noncommittal. I shouldn't ask you questions this Sunday. You wouldn't tell me if it was raining outside. But there are times just doing something as you're driving by somebody's house, as you're going somewhere, as you meet somebody in the grocery store, that God will say, talk to that person. Pray for that person. I was telling Richard with his back hurts this morning as we prayed with him. I was just telling him a story. We went to Teal's. What's those days called when they have all the food out and everybody's eating? They just have a day a year where you go in there and you eat and you eat and you eat and you belly up to the trough and you're just going. I was there and there was a man there to me and said, my back is really killing me. First I asked him, what's wrong? He said, my back is killing me. I said, do you mind if I prayed for you? And he said, no. So I prayed for him, and we went down, and I ate some more, and then went back and ate some more, and went back and ate some more. And he was still standing there, and I said, hey, Terry, how's your back? He says, man, that's better. You never know when the Holy Spirit's just going to say, pray for somebody, or talk to somebody, encourage somebody. Let them know there's hope. What a privilege to be able to take the message. Do we have cards? Okay. We'll get them passed out. How many of us know five people who need Jesus? Five people who know Jesus. And how many have just thought, boy, I wish they'd get saved. I just wish they'd get saved. I just wish they'd come to Christ. There's some things that I believe tie into what I'm preaching about bringing someone to Christ. Putting their name on a card, again, whether or not you're involved in the event, that's not the issue this morning. The issue is getting this town turned to Jesus, or your community turned to Jesus, or your neighbor turned to Jesus. Put their five names on a card and begin praying for them. Cultivate a relationship with them. Get to know them. Invite them to your home for coffee. Go help them if they need help in something. encourage them to receive Jesus as you're talking with them. Invite them to an event. Invite them to church. Invite them to IWT. Just let them know they need Jesus. How many of us, I know you're not going to respond, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. So please don't respond. How many of us pray for an unsaved person every day? Just pray. God, bless them. Pour your love upon them. Let them be touched by your Holy Spirit. Supply their needs according to your riches and glory. Touch them. You know, when something happens in our life, we get so focused on it that sometimes we lose focus of others. And so all we're doing this morning is hand you a card that says prayer, care, share, and get there. It's a card with area for five names that you want to see come to Christ. And if they haven't come to Christ by October 4th and 5th, you're going to try to get them to come to an event and hear the gospel. They've already heard it from you. But maybe somebody else will share something that just reaches into their heart and touch them. Kirk, now you can come. Stan, you want to help? We're just going to hand these cards out. It's not about the event, it's about getting people saved. How many have a piece of paper in your pocket that you didn't steal from Pastor? I want to give you about five verses that I'd just like you to write down if you have it, just to begin a basic process of what scriptures to use when you're praying with someone to receive Christ, because you are going to pray with someone to receive Christ. I got more, Stan. Or you can start selling them. Isn't it a great day? How could Andy told me that he had 8.6 inches of rain. Have enough rain on his party property to have a baptismal service. There's more here, Kirk. Do we need more? Anybody did not get one? Russ, did you get one back there? Russ didn't get one. Andy didn't get one. Just write these verses down, and you can do with them what you want. Romans 3:23, how many knows what that says? For all have what? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Romans 5, 8, 9, and 10. God commended his love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. Where are we at? We got that one down? Romans 10, 9, and 10. If we believe in our heart and do what? Confess with our mouth, Lord Jesus Christ, thou will be saved. And then I took one from Romans. I think there's five on the Romans road that they call it. I took one that we need to know. It's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Some people are going to say, but I haven't done anything wrong. I've never sinned. Well, they just told a fib, but you all become children of God and are children of God to share the good news with others. It's super. It's great. It's exciting. You don't have to be 20. This is for you, Isaac. You have a present. Give it to somebody else. His name is Jesus. Right?
Yep.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful time to be a Christian. There's no longer a gray area in America. It's light or dark. We just share Jesus and bring the light. You may say this is dark. This is so dark. You are the light. Shine. Walk in. You're going to interrupt everything the devil's trying to do. Shine the light of Jesus into the darkness, and the darkness flees. Bible says people love darkness because their sins are hidden then, but they're never hidden to God. And the light will illuminate them where they will see they need Jesus. That's what this is all about. Seeing that they need Jesus.